DarkShot.com, this is Play Dead, the bi-weekly podcast that talks with video game developers about their thoughts on death and how they're using it in their video games. I'm your host, Gabby D'Arienzo. In this week's episode, I talk with Lucas Pope, the game developer behind Papers, Please, The Republic of Times, and the upcoming game Return to the Oberdin. I had the chance to play Return to the Oberdin at Double Fine and IM8Bit's Day of the Dev Space at GDC last week, and talked to Lucas about the game.
My original motivation for the game was I was playing some AAA games, I can't remember exactly which ones, but every game that's popular today almost, you're killing people constantly. You're just left and right. And the idea of death is it's just a game metric. It's just something you do the entire game, you're killing people constantly. This is pretty indie, but I thought, what if instead of killing people, you're dying constantly, just left and right, you're dying. And the original mechanic was that you would come up on a body and you would have to reenact the last minute or so of their death. So you saw somebody, and through some context, you would learn that they were shot or something like that. And then you would inhabit the body for the last minute, and you would realize that you're in the middle of an argument with somebody who has a gun. So one thing you could do is just walk away, but then you don't die in the minute. Mm-hmm. You could avoid the situation. So the correct sort of response would be to keep fighting that guy, maybe to punch him or something like that, to bring it to the point where you were shot and your body landed in the spot where you found the body in the current time. And there was this cool hook that, you know, if you didn't figure out how to die, or if you didn't die correctly in that 1 minute, someone had to die, and it would be you. So instead of the person you were inhabiting, it would be, that's game over. You know, death has come for somebody, and he doesn't care who it is. So it was a cool idea, but I got to the point where I was thinking of actually making that sort of game, where I would need to have these small scenes with animated characters and dialogue and all this shit that basically I can't, as a single-person development team, just don't have the resources to do that sort of thing. But at this point, I'd already kind of decided I wanted to be on a boat. I thought the kind of interactions between people would be interesting on the boat. The set itself or the level I thought would be simple. That was totally wrong, but I wanted a small game that I could make myself, and I thought, hey, a boat is nice and contained. So that kind of stuff was already set, and then, and this happens a lot where I think I'm making one game, but it changes to something else due to some problem or trouble that I have. And this is exactly the situation where I realized what I was going to make originally, this game where you replay the last few minutes of death, it's not going to work. And I just kind of realized that even just a freeze frame becomes sort of interesting to sort of figure out kind of what's going on. So you're no longer replaying the death, but you're sort of deciphering exactly what happened to who. A freeze frame flashback I can do just resources-wise. I can pose these characters. I don't need to animate them. That's a lot easier.
Return to the Oberdin is a beautiful 1-bit rendered game being developed in Unity. You take on the role of an insurance adjuster for the East India Company's London office and must board the Oberdin, a ship previously thought to be lost at sea, and figure out what happened to the missing or dead crew. You search the Oberdin for bodies and use a magical watch with a skull etched into it that allows you to go back to the exact moment in which that person has died. You are then shown a black screen with text on it and can listen to audio that gives you an idea of what happened to this person. You are then shown a vignette of the exact moment in which the person had died. There's a limited amount of time for you to walk around the scene and understand the circumstances in which that person died. Maybe it was a knife to the throat, or a gunshot, or something else entirely. As you watch these vignettes, more areas of the boat are uncovered, and you are able to explore and discover more.
And that sort of setup allows me to add just enough clues and enough context to sort of build a mystery about who is who and what's happening on the ship. So that's kind of a long, really long way to say. I was from the beginning focused on death, and the game is still focused on it, which is kind of a different way from how I intended originally.
Yeah. We had a chance to go yesterday, and I sat down and I played it, and yeah, it is fantastic. It is really cool.
Thank you.
And talking about, you're right, like thinking about games and how death is used in games, and how death has always kind of been used in games is very much...
Yeah, if you sit down and make an actual catalog of what you're doing in games today, 90% of it is you're killing people mm-hmm. constantly, and you're not building up to one kill. You're killing people all the time, and it's not even a measure of progress anymore. It's just the core thing you're doing is killing people.
Yeah.
Which to me, I mean, thank God that indie games now are getting beyond that. But it's when I actually took kind of a check of all the games, it was kind of surprising to me, honestly.
Yeah.
To when you actually look at it, you know, and you kind of go through the names of all the games that you think about, it's really surprising. I mean, even something like Mario, which is an innocent game, you know, you're killing things all the time in that game. It's constantly about killing things. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, that's it kind of surprised me. And sort of as an indie developer, kind of what I try to do is I'm one guy. I can't compete with the Final Fantasies and the Marios and, you know, the Call of Duty. So I have to kind of juke and see what are people doing. Okay, let me do, you know, what is either the opposite of that or something different than that. And that was kind of just something I noticed and thought, okay, let me try to do something that's more, that has the player a lot closer to death and sort of incorporates death in a way that's not just this trivial, like, core mechanic, you know, that most games have.
Or even not even just, like, killing something else, but also, like, the death of the player has always been, I guess, kind of almost a challenge or a hurdle or a punishment for players.
Yeah.
And,
yeah, it just, death is so trivial in games
so
now.
Meaningless, yeah.
The player dies and just restarts. He's killing people constantly. And, yeah, that sort of thing, I mean, that's the kind of thing that's perfect to focus on, because you find something that everyone is doing a certain way, and you think, okay, just do it some other way. And that's a really simple way to kind of come up with a next game idea. Just look at what everybody's doing and then think, well, actually, yeah, what if it wasn't like that? What if you just stop thinking implicitly about all the rules about games that you know and all the games you play? And I do that a lot, actually, where I'll play a game and I'll notice something. I'll just try to notice something new that has always been that way and think, well, you know, what if it wasn't that way? What if it was actually completely different? Or what if you base the game around something that seemed so trivial and obvious before, but if you focus on it and change it up, you know, 180 degrees or something, you can, for me at least, it's a way to think of new, interesting things.
Thinking about the Return to the Oberdeen, thinking about death in games, death being so trivial is... when a character dies, when you die, when NPCs die, it's so meaningless most of the time, right? So your body, game over, and your body refreshes, and it is so meaningless. But even with NPCs or enemies, their bodies just, like, flicker and fall away. And something I really, really liked about Return to the Oberdeen is that you get these moments, these, like, this still frames of watching that person in their literal last moment, like, as they are being killed. So whether it's, like, a club in the face, or a knife in the throat, or a gun in the chest, or whatever, it is really, really cool to sit there, and at your own pace, you can walk around these vignettes and see what's happening, and see, you know, where these characters came from, and what's going on, and what's putting the story together. But more specifically, I really enjoyed looking... I don't know, this is maybe a little bit morbid, but...
Watching someone die?
Somebody die.
I mean, just thinking about, you know, media today, or trying to get people interested in things, yeah, it is exciting. And I can build interesting scenes that are visually arresting as well, obviously. You know, when somebody dies, it's a pretty dramatic moment, so... Mm-hmm. There's all, just from the concept, there's a lot of drama built into it, which makes it easier for me, because if I want to, it's easy for me to think about a scene that looks interesting, looks cool even, where somebody's dying. I mean, you know, that's also kind of pop culture stuff. We're exposed to that stuff all the time, so, but we don't usually get to stop and look at it. Usually it's like, you know, you see someone die and the blood splatters and it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
And this setup, I guess it has the benefit of being easy for me to sort of construct, but also easy for me to kind of think about, and the payoff is pretty good. And that's one of the things I'm really happy about with this game, is just, it is a lot of work. It's a 3D, so it's completely different from Papers, Please, and it's a lot of work to construct this stuff, but as far as the payoff goes, I really like that I can create a scene that the player is almost immediately compelled by and can look at. But on top of that, what I really like is that... it's dramatic and it's arresting and it's cool to look at, but also there's a core mechanic that I built the game on, which is that you have to come to understand what's going on and who the people are, and you don't have any information except the audio and the freeze frame. So using those pieces of clues, you need to figure out specifically who people are. And I think Papers, Please is kind of the same way, where I try to focus the player on this kind of low-level core mechanic of checking papers, and I can surprise them with story elements or story beats or character elements, because they're sort of preoccupied with the papers.
If you haven't played it, Papers, Please is the award-winning game released by Lucas in 2013, where you play as an immigration officer deciding who to let in and who to exclude from entering the fictional dystopian country of Arstotzka. You sit behind a desk and can use a variety of tools to determine whether or not to let each person in, but also must be mindful that your actions affect your income and thus your family. The game becomes a lot more involved when Arstotzka's status with other countries deteriorates, and things like spies and imminent terrorist attacks affect the level of security and your job requirements. Papers, Please is a fantastic game that deals a lot with morality, politics, and also death.
It's kind of the same thing with Oberdin, where you're kind of preoccupied with figuring out who people are, listening to the dialogue for names and references and relationship, you know, little drops, hints about relationships. Meanwhile, this crazy story is going on that killed 60 people on this boat. But the player's primary concern is, their primary goal is to figure out who is who and who and what has happened, specifically at the low level to people. So this guy was killed by a gun. Who is this guy and who killed him with the gun? Mm-hmm. And that sort of focusing the player on that thing, on that sort of thing, allows me to, I think, surprise them more with story elements or to kind of subvert what's happening at the higher level more. So they don't pay so much attention to kind of the high level of what's happening on the ship, and so I can surprise them when suddenly in some scene there's something that they never expected. Mm-hmm. A lot of my games, you don't die. I'm not going to say it's a big theme. It's just kind of one of those general things. I have a family now. I have kids now, so and that's kind of new for Oberdin. I had only my son was born during development of Papers, Please. But now I think more about how death affects other people, I guess. I mean, you know, like when you play these games where you're killing people left and right, I'm sure most people don't think about this, but what I think about is that guy I just killed has, you know, a mom, and he's got kids, and he's got a wife. So that's, right, that's a super indie thing to think, but that's kind of like what led me towards Oberdin and sort of thinking about these sort of things. And so it's not something that I really focused on in the past, although I have a general, I enjoy those kind of games, honestly. You know, I enjoy Call of Duty and Uncharted and stuff like that. I love those kind of games to play them. But I've never really made games like that where you're killing people constantly. It just hasn't been sort of on my mind for sorts of mechanics or... It's kind of like I said, where if I work alone and I make my own games and I'm not good at marketing, if I make a game like that, I'm competing with a lot more people than if I try to just do something a little bit different. So a lot of game developers don't even think about, actually. It's the first step is, okay, what kind of swords are we going to have? Mm-hmm. What crazy trolls are we going to be killing or fighting? Yeah, I mean, it's... Really, I mean, even if you go on TIGSource, which is an independent gaming blog where I post my devlog, and you kind of take a survey of the games on there, there's still just... In the most mundane thing, the core mechanic is killing something. Mm-hmm. It's like some crazy weapons, you know, some awesome moves, and a lot of these games look great. But yeah, I just wish sort of, and I think it's going to eventually happen, people will move beyond this idea that a game is mostly about killing stuff. Mm-hmm. It's mostly about you fighting other, like even just fighting, you know, not even like killing things, but you fighting against other things constantly. So,
yeah.
But you know, it's good for me because there's less people making other kinds of games. So
Yeah, that's fair. One thing I'm really interested about too is game developers' responses when they're talking about how players interact with each other, when they're talking about like death of the player or killing other players or enemies or whatever. Very reflective of how our culture in general is a little bit afraid to talk about death. When I say culture, I mean it's a very, very Eurocentric idea of like being afraid to talk about death. And death always being this thing that we don't really want to think about. We kind of push it to the back of our minds. And when death happens, we kind of let somebody else take care of it. And so games up until, you know, mainly recently have always kind of been this idea of like, all right, death doesn't need to be permanent. Or if there is permadeath in a game, you can still respawn, you know.
Yeah.
But we're starting to see people are very, very slowly starting to become more comfortable with talking about death. With thinking about death, with questioning how the funeral industry works and being more comfortable with talking with our family and loved ones about what we want.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting to see how game developers, like the games are kind of almost reflecting that shift, where there's a lot of games that are kind of getting a bit more comfortable with directly talking about death or dealing with death.
Yeah, and I mean, that's one of the great things about indie games is that now anybody can make a game. It's a lot more personal. Games can be a lot more personal. So It's not just death, but you see a lot more games where someone takes a topic like that would not have been a game before and makes a game out of it and makes it personal. You know, death is a pretty personal thing. Mm-hmm. When it gets interesting, it's very personal. So, yeah, that's one of the really great things about indie games. And what's also great is that stuff is trickling back up into AAA and the bigger budget games. There's still a lot of killing in those games. There's still a lot of trivializing death, but it's getting there. And I think when VR sort of becomes bigger, I think that's also going to be another thing. We'll balance things out a little bit because VR, you're much closer to the experience is a lot more real, and to actually kill somebody is a lot harder than to kill them, you know, in a virtual shooter. So
yeah, with VR, I feel like people's responses vary. To use traditional mechanics, use traditional things we've done in games and kind of just like put it in this new medium.
VR, yeah.
So it's very much like when the App Store became a thing and we had games on our phones and our iPads, suddenly people were still putting joysticks on it and buttons and not really thinking about the medium.
Yeah,
and thinking
it took
about
a couple years.
And that's happening kind of with VR right now where people are still like, all right, now look down at your controller or... Yeah. And it's still, or like the UI is still, you know, it's still the same and people are not really thinking about it. And there have been only a couple that I can think of VR games that are doing interesting and more engaging things with death. With the whole medium being so engaging and so immersive.
Yeah.
And you, the whole idea is like, you know, you are now in this world. I think we need things that are like, yes, you just died. So you're talking about like, okay, in VR, now you're actually killing somebody. It's not just like...
Yeah, it's just a lot more visceral, I guess. A lot more close, a lot more real in VR. For me, like, when it comes to a topic, like if you think, okay, let's... I want to do something about immigration, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of ways to approach that. But for me... The most interesting way is to take it at the lowest level, just like Papers, Please. Like, just so for something like death, you know, who deals with death all the time? So you could do something, people in a mortuary, something like that, or something where it becomes routine, so that you can sort of understand how that world works, but also so you can become desensitized to it, sort of in a typical way that the you know ER person would be, or. Ambulance driver would be, or something like that, but also to understand how it affects, how it rises above that, how you're desensitized, so it becomes personal at some points, or because death is a lot of different things to a lot of different people, and I mean, I tried to capture sort of that in Papers, Please with immigration and border control, but for me, I had to approach it, you know, if I wanted to sort of focus on death in a way that. In Oberdin, it's still kind of a mechanic thing. I'm not really trying to teach the player about, you know, the finality of death, something like that. I'm sort of working out the drama of it. But, if I wanted to focus on something like that, it wouldn't be the death scene when you died in a typical shooter game. It would be, I would sort of structure the whole game around first introducing the player, then becoming desensitized, then realizing, you know, that even though you're desensitized, you can understand the value or the finality of death, I guess.
Yeah.
So.
I'm actually working on a game right now called Mortuary Simulator, where you play as a mortician.
There. Okay, there you go. Yeah.
No, yeah, that's...
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, the stuff that's really interesting to me is that you can do something that, you know, I think is terrible and really difficult. You can be good at it. You can, like, train yourself to be good at it, and then it doesn't mean you're a terrible person, you know, and... Death can still affect you in just different ways.
Mm-hmm.
That sort of thing is like actually super interesting to me, and it's also one of the things I think games are particularly well at expressing or sharing with people. It's one thing to read a story about it, you know, to watch Six Feet Under, to like see stories, non-interactive sort of passive stories about that industry or that death or sort of how things work there. But because with games you can put the player really in those shoes, you can make them. Force them to make those decisions that they would need to make, or you know, to go through the rote of whatever trivial thing that you need to do in those situations, and that's kind of what makes it really interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
And also that you can build bigger stories out of those small things that sort of the player is overcoming or doing or whatever in those roles that you know would be very difficult to do if you just had to do it immediately, but you can sort of like ease yourself into it, and then suddenly you know it's not a big deal anymore, and then. Yeah, that kind of thing is actually really interesting to me.
Special thanks to Lucas for speaking with me on this episode. You can learn more about his games at dukope.com or follow him on Twitter at dukope, D-U-K-O-P-E. If you're interested in playing Return of the Oberdin, you can check out an early playable build on itch.io. The Playdead podcast is produced by me, Gabby D'Arienzo. You can learn more about me and follow me on Twitter at Gabdar. Playdead is a proud member of the Dorkshelf podcast family. You can check out other podcasts on Dorkshelf's website, iTunes, and podcast player of choice. I highly recommend checking out the Whalecast, in which my good friends Eric Weiss, who is the games editor at Dorkshelf.com, and John Remedios, a Toronto-based independent game developer, talk about video games and media. Spoiler alert, they mostly just talk about step-up movies.